Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And as we look at this, I also want to say a big thank you to John, because John has been very willing to share this pulpit. And thank you. He has given me multiple opportunities to preach at different occasions, and it works out to be about once a month. And I need the experience and the practice, and I appreciate the opportunity. So I'm excited to be able to preach for the 8:30 congregation this morning. So thank y'all for being here, and let us hear this word. He has not been covetousness over this pulpit here, so thank you. Let us read from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." We give thanks for the reading of God's holy word. Teacher, tell my brother. Tell my brother, teacher. Have you ever said something along these lines? "Jesus, do this for me. I've worked hard. That promotion should be mine. Jesus, do this for me. I really need a break. So can you make the stock market go up just a bit? I need a little extra. Jesus, will you do it for me, Jesus?" The man from the crowd is trying to use the power and the authority of Jesus to get what he wants. Sometimes we may set it up as a bargain. You ever done that? Jesus, if you do this for me in this moment, then if you get me out of this jam, if you take care of these things, you know, then I'll do something. Jesus, if you'll make this speeding ticket go away, if you'll make this DUI go away, if you make this medical diagnosis go away, if you make this rough spot that I'm having with my spouse go away, then I promise I'll never speed, I'll never drink, I'll never cheat again. Jesus, fix this for me." Have you ever bargained? This Jesus, who has such grace, such love, who has such compassion for all of creation, says to this man in the crowd, "You've got laws and regulations. Why pull me in on this issue? Why pull me in? Who made me arbitrator over you?" Really, I think Jesus' underlying question is not really who made me judge over your inheritance, but I think his question is really, who can judge whose greed is right here? Is it the brother who apparently got all the inheritance? Or is it the brother who wants what apparently isn't his? What is your story? What is your story? Van, you owe me a story. Where'd you go, Van? I don't know where you are. Van asked if I wanted to hear his story this morning, earlier before the service, and I told him, not right then, but I want to hear it. What is your story? What is your story? Have you asked for that promotion? Have you asked for that second chance? Have you tried to make that bargain, that thing that only seems fair, a win-win for all involved. It's fair. Everyone gets a little something if only it will go the way I want it to. You see, in normal Jesus fashion, in the midst of our self-righteous or our self-concerned or our self-importance, Jesus cuts through the veil of our self-involved inquiries, and he gets right to the heart of the matter, right to the heart of the matter. For the man who interjects during Jesus' teaching, Jesus sees straight through his question for what seems like fairness, and he calls it out for being greed. Guard yourself against all types of greed. Now, Jaden, I did not ask your permission before. I know, I'm sorry. I didn't ask your permission before I'm telling this story. It's a little bit about you, but it's more about me. It's okay, okay. She's okay with it. I've gotten in trouble before, so I just... For Jaden's third Halloween on the face of this earth, our church that we were in Loganville was having a costume party and a contest for all the kids. And Jaden wanted to be Nemo. It was cute. It was really cute. That's the part that's going to embarrass her. But at the time, I couldn't find a Nemo costume anywhere. And I don't know, maybe I wasn't looking in the right place. I don't know if we had Amazon. I don't know. I didn't find Nemo at all. So I decided I can make a Nemo costume, right? I can make a Nemo costume. So little white t-shirt, little blue strips of material that were really cool. And I sewed them all together. And I sewed all these little creatures to it. I sewed. Do you understand? I sewed. I made a costume. This was a really big deal. And it was cute. It really was. It was really cute. So we're at the church. We're at this little parade. It's like, you know, fall festival. Somehow, though, they didn't make the announcement that it was time for the parade and the contest. And so somehow Jaden didn't get into it. And at the very, very last minute, I realized what's going on. And so I rush around and I grab her up and I kind of drag her over to the parade. And we get to go about like a quarter of the gym is, you know, about the amount of the parade that we got to do. And I was really frustrated. I was really frustrated because my kid didn't get to be in the parade. They didn't get to see how cute she was. So I went to the lady. Well, I didn't go to her. She happened to just be passing by. But the lady that was in charge of everything, I let her know. I'm a little frustrated. Now, I don't know exactly what I said, but I have enough shame in me to know it probably wasn't nice, or at least not the best I want to be. I'm afraid that in that moment, it may have shown my true colors. You see, Jaden certainly would have won that costume contest. She would have, if only the judges could have seen her, but they didn't see her because the announcement wasn't made. And then everybody would have said, "My, my, Allison, how amazing you are. You have two kids under the age of 4. You're a full-time seminary student. You're serving as a pastor of one church. And you're serving and being in ministry in another church. And, you know, you're this amazing wife. And obviously, you're just this really rock-solid person." And they would have all known that if Jaden would have won the costume contest. But no. No. Greed for a little glory and a little mommy recognition, it still leaves its mark and its sting of shame on me. It really does. Greed. Be on your guard against all types of greed. Yesterday, we were at a soccer tournament, and at the end of the day, 702 cars are trying to leave the soccer field through the one and only entrance and exit. I was feeling a bit greedy over my spot in line, you betcha. Greed. Be on your guard against all types of greed. In a recent argument over a political issue, I know that my political belief is right. You should just listen to me and hear how well thought out and reasonable I am. In that argument, I was being a bit greedy over emphasizing my beliefs. Yeah, greed, you betcha. Be on your guard against all types of greed. What's your story? What's your story of greed? Please tell me that you have a story of greed. Make me feel a little better. I don't want to be the only one. I love the song, Blessed Assurance, that we just sang. I love that line. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I want that to be my story. I do. I want that to be my story. But so often I fear that my story is more about my own self, about my own little green-eyed monsters revealing my own self-concerned motives and fears. The man in the crowd, the one asking about inheritance. If he is acting, well, let me just say that differently. He is acting as if Jesus is his servant, a God with a little g, a God that he can manipulate and get to do his own bidding. That's how he is acting. The man in the parable is acting as if there is no God. Do you hear the number of times he says, I? He completely lives for himself. He talks to himself. He plans for himself. He congratulates himself. I. This craving for stuff, for goods, for recognition, for money, for security, it puts stuff in the place of God, and it truly is a complete disregard for the needs of others. And if there is one thing that Luke tries to teach us and get us to understand about God through his gospel, it is to love God and to love our neighbor, not to disregard others. For Luke, Jesus' emphasis is on voluntarily sharing your goods, on voluntarily sharing what you have. Here are these brief little excerpts of some of Jesus' words, just in the two or three chapters before the actual scripture lesson that we're reading this morning. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Go and do likewise. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world but loses or forfeits his soul? You foolish ones, you follow the letter of the law, but you disregard justice and the love of God. Go and do likewise. Be a neighbor. Show mercy. The fool asks, what should I do? And the story unfolds as he makes his decisions in isolation from the love of God and from the love of his neighbor. And God says, you fool. You can't take it with you, and now the chance to do good with what you have is over. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't leave us there. I know that I did with our printed scripture right here on the front of our bulletin, but there's more to this story. There's more to what Jesus says. There's more to this story, you know, as Paul Harvey would say. There's more to what Jesus says here. The rest of Jesus' teachings go on like this. So he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all of these things, and your Father knows what you need. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus knows us well. Jesus knows us very, very well. Greed is driven by fear, by anxiety, by worry. Specifically in this story, it is anxiety over material things. Jesus says it comes from a lack of trust in God, a lack of interest in kingdom-minded things, and a lack of generosity for the poor. Fred Craddock, who is a great preacher and scripture commentator, he says this. He says, anxious grasping is the pursuit of all those who live in the darkness of not knowing that God is aware of us and of our needs. Jesus calls for a liberation from greed and anxiety through acts of generosity. Now please hear this. This passage isn't saying that food and clothing are not important, and that is often an easy interpretation for those who have an abundance of both. What the passage is saying is actually the exact opposite. We are not to worry about food and clothing precisely because God knows they are important. Indeed, they are so important that God provides them even to the birds and to the grass. It is not that God doesn't want us to save for retirement. It's not that. It's not that God doesn't want us to be prepared for future needs. It is not that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy what God has given us. It's not that. We know from the Gospels that Jesus spent plenty of time eating and drinking with people and enjoying life, but he was also clear about where his true security lay. The rich farmer is a fool, not because he is wealthy or because he saves for the future, but because he appears to live only for himself, and because he believes that he alone can secure his life with his abundant possessions. It's really all about priorities. It is about who is truly God of our lives. It is about how we invest our lives and the gifts that God has given us. It is about how our lives are fundamentally aligned toward ourselves and our passing desires. Or are our lives aligned toward God and toward our neighbor, toward God's mission to bless and redeem the world? It truly does seem that the antidote to discontent and to greed is generosity. Let us be generous in spirit and in possessions. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to focus on you, to focus on the way of Christ, which is to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor. Help us seek you first in all things, living into that love as we make all decisions, particularly as we make decisions concerning our finances, concerning our material things, concerning our desire for accolades or our desire for recognition. Lord, we seek to remind ourselves to not live in and move in isolation from your love and from our neighbor. Amen.